Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from either 2007 or 2009. I think it was reissued in 2009. Ordinary Riches by Company of Thieves. Company of Thieves were/are an American indie rock band from Chicago, Illinois. They released two albums, 2007's Ordinary Riches and 2011's Running from a Gamble, before announcing in 2014 that they had no plans to record any new music. Then, in May of 2017, they announced a reunion. They released a new single in July of that year, went on a reunion tour the following September, announced plans for a new EP, and then... silence.
Yeah, not really sure what the hell happened exactly. I think Genevieve went off and had a baby.
She's also done some solo stuff from what I saw.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that was after the solo stuff that they were going to get back together.
Oh, okay. It was between. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's why I say r/were. No idea if they're still together.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really not sure if they're coming back again or not, you know?
Ordinary Riches is the band's debut album. It was released on February 24th, 2009 by Wind Up Records, produced by Sean O'Keefe, and features Genevieve Schatz on vocals, Mark Wallach on guitar, Mike Ortiz on drums, and Dorian Duffy on bass. Nice short list of players, for, you know, nice difference from last week. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our episodes for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnandscotto.com, you'll find links to Ordinary Riches on Spotify and YouTube, so you can listen along if you'd like.
The strange thing about it is there's seems to be other players on this.
Well, yeah, I noticed there's
but I don't see any credits
of a keyboard player, and there are definitely
there's
keyboards.
Definitely a keyboard player. There might even be a string player.
There might be strings. I think it's probably all keyboards. I think one of them doubles on keyboards, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if those are keys, those strings. A lot of those strings sound pretty pretty real to me.
But there's definitely organ and piano here and there.
Yes.
And I don't know who played it. On to track one, Ordinary Letters. This opens with some nice kind of sound effects. Love how the bass kind of leads the song in.
Probably the most tightly produced of all the tracks because there's so many strings and keys in this intro. And it's, you know, this unhinged kind of psycho kind of feel to
it. Yeah, nice. I'll say interesting off-kilter drums in the intro. It's a little busy for me. I liked the mix of a rock band and a folky singer.
Yeah.
She's got what I'll call a Lilith voice.
A Lilith voice?
The Lilith Festival.
Oh.
She would have fit in vocally with a lot of those types.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Well, I mean, there were so many different types of singers in the Lilith.
But, you know, it's that very 90s folky kind of pops voice. Nice groove. Piano adds some interesting tonality to the verse. Oh, yeah, there's some pizzicato violin leading into verse two.
Yeah, I don't think those are keys.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Because the way the violin, the string just kind of, don't think you'd really get that on a key.
The singer does remind me of someone, but I really can't figure out who. Maybe it's just that she sounds very early 90s.
I could see them, you know, like some of those 90s bands like the Stone Roses and like a lot of those psychedelic kind of early 90s bands, not the grunge bands.
Well, no. What I realized toward the end, this is post-grunge.
Yes, definitely.
I don't like post-grunge. Post-grunge is like Gin Blossoms and Matchbox 20, which is a problem I had with this album. It was very, very samey. It started good for me. It just got tiring. Since we're talking about who they sound like, the comparison I drew at some point in the album, it's Steely Dan meets Sixpence None the Richer.
I don't know if I can get Steely Dan out of it.
Huh? They're very jazz influenced. There's some interesting tonality going on. Genevieve has a very jazzy kind of voice.
Definitely.
But then a lot of Sixpence. I get a lot of Sheryl Crow. at points.
Genevieve has this voice, and really, it's kind of the centerpiece of the band. Everything feels like it's just to set her up, and a lot of it is just her pulling the songs along.
On to track two, In Passing, some nice scatting in the beginning. Good groove. I like the guitar riff before the tempo change. That little acoustic interlude was a nice change. I like the timing changes going into the first solo and into the last verse.
Sort of like a rock cabaret thing that she's doing. And then they pull this Latino beat out of nowhere. You get a little bit of the 70s guitar style in the background when they break down, like the same one from the song before. Mm-hmm. This one's definitely, they really, really were just riding Genevieve's voice. It's probably my pick for weakest on the album, actually.
On to track three, Oscar Wilde. This is my favorite. Great groove, very Stonesy. Love the first melody.
I definitely could take a lot of Stones. There was definitely a huge Stones influence on this.
Where
the guitar playing is kind of in the background, and it's just, you know, let's ride Mick, or Mick's voice.
Her lisp adds an interesting touch, because she's got this, at points, very pronounced lisp. Love the chorus lyrics. We are all our own devil, and we make this world our hell.
That is one of the violations of the rules of trying to write a hit. This is as close as they came to a hit. And one of them is, you know, talking about people being devils, creating their own hell. And but the first one would be, of course, the name of the song needs to be in the chorus, and unless, of course, you're Led Zeppelin.
I love that they went with just this random line about Oscar Wilde.
Oh, right, right, of course. Of course. I mean, but also ask Harvey Danger. I mean, someone said he was quoted once as saying that, you know, he would have been way richer if he had named the song, I'm Not Well. Instead of Flagpole, Salute, or whatever he called. But yeah, it comes back to her. It's not just her voice that goes along with and makes this pop. It's her really quirky lyrics. You know, like, live like it's the style is such an old person kind of phrasing, and she's like in her early 20s here.
And this is a little outside of our purview, but the video is interesting. It's very Wes Anderson.
I think I saw the video a long time ago. I came about this group, it's a weird story. It's like 2011. I'm in like Indianapolis, and we're having, you know, Mrs. Scotto has had her craft business, and we were just at one of those, and I was a roadie, but they were just performing in like this tent on the front lawn of it. And it was just like, they had these fans that were really excited to come into it. It was just a real small group. And I was kind of like, what's with this? And then everyone just kind of stopped and watched the whole thing, and just this whole crowd gathered, because it was just, her voice is like this live too.
She has a very unique, well, I say very unique voice, but I also just said she reminds me of somebody, and it was bugging me the whole time. I still never figured out who she sounds like.
I think that there's probably a number of influences. I mean, Janice, definitely. She doesn't sound like Janice.
No.
But I mean, Janice is definitely there's an influence,
certainly. And a lot of jazz singers and a lot of... She's very early 90s folk rock.
Nina Simone.
On a track four, Quiet on the Front. This is where they started to lose me. The drum part in the beginning is nice. I like all the timing changes. Not crazy about the harmonica on this one. That's another instrument that wasn't credited, by the way.
Yeah, and that could have been keys. Who knows? It was just a few.
No, that was a real harmonica.
You think that was a real harmonica?
Yeah, you probably the most harmonicas cinematic, are obvious.
Yeah, probably the most cinematic song on the album. That's saying a lot, because you kind of get put into these stories of hers, and you're left to figure out, like, what is this?
But they're very of their time. you know, there is, they are that, I mean, actually a little bit before their time, actually.
Right. I think there's a number of times here, really.
But I mean, their general sound, because this album does get very samey. And it's post-grunge, and it's kind of mid to late 90s post-grunge.
But it's like 10 years after that, even. Yeah. It's, you know, it's...
Well, they came out 10 years after its time.
They're doing their own thing for the time, definitely, you know?
Well, no, they're flashing back to about 10 years earlier.
They're doing a 20, straight up...
15 years earlier in some cases.
You know, they're trying to actually bring rock back, you know?
I'm just saying...
This is the reason why rock hasn't come back, is because a band like this can't...
Well, rock can't never... Well, let's not get into the whole rock is dead nonsense. that can be disproven easily. But pop punk is rock. Pop punk was huge at this point in time. Also, yeah. You're not considering metal, which has never gone away.
It's been much more on the fringe.
We're not talking about dead. If we're talking about dead, we're in the charts. And were these guys ever in the charts?
No.
So your argument is you can make a case for rock hasn't been, you know, in the pop charts. Sure. It's waned in that sense.
Yeah. But
this didn't bring it back. So there's no argument there.
Well, that's the point. It's what they were trying to do. You know? Bring pop back into a more rock sensibility.
But people have been saying rock is dead since the 60s, at least. Rock is dead, they say, long of rock. It's been a recurring theme. It's never true.
I think their definition of rock was a lot different. It was more of a rockabilly kind of thing, which they kept trying to bring back over and over again into the early 80s.
Everything is secular. Music is secular. That's just the nature of the beast. Anyway. Back to moving on to track 5, Pressure. At this point, I was getting tired of the rim shots and arpeggios. It's just the drummer hitting the rim shots all the time and the arpeggios on the guitar. It was just becoming too much. Nice groove once it gets into the verse. The Leslie guitar is just too cheesy. It's a rotating speaker. It's okay. A very signature sound. There's a nice build in the pre-chorus. I like how present the bass is. I like how it gets a bit loud toward the end.
Yeah, it's a bit on the nose, the whole thing. But it is what her voice does with this. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason why you really listen to this one, honestly. It is one of the weaker ones on the album.
On to track 6, Around the Block. This is where I really officially got bored. I do like how sparse the verse is. I like how the guitar and piano are panned in the chorus, hard right and left. This is where I had the Steely Dan meets Sixpence None the Richer notes.
Well, yeah, they get very... This is probably the poppest song on the album, actually. It's this thing where you could see them performing it on the Muppet Show. It's, you know... It's existential, but it's fun at the same time. It's, you know.
To be fair, it's a first listen, so I really didn't pay attention to the lyrics. They could have been very interesting. On to track 7, Even in the Dark, I just say I'm tired of their one groove. Nice subtle electric piano. I like the big vocal right before the instrumental break. She impressed me.
This is definitely one of her best vocals on the album.
Track 8, Under the Umbrella, nice groove.
The drumming was really good on Even in the Dark, too. Mm. It was kind of like this balance between the two.
Back to Under the Umbrella, nice groove. Yeah. I like the bass. Finally, something a little different.
This would be my pick for strongest, because it takes you really on this journey, you know? Mm-hmm. It begins with this tone of wonder, the kid looking at the world for the first time. And then just, you know, watching people separate themselves from their childhood innocence, wonder. And then it picks up its own sense of weariness. You know, it comes to that fake stop at the end. But
I like all the stops and starts. Guitar tone in the first solo is great. Very Gilmore. Nice loud riff in the middle. Second solo is fun, but very derivative. It's just this classic rock kind of solo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But this anthemic chant.
On a track 9, Past the Sleep, nice ethereal opening. This is where I say they reminded me of Sheryl Crow. It's generic, safe, late alternative / indie. And this is where I was tempted to tap out. And the generic and safe part is why I hate post-grunge, because it is generic and safe.
I don't know how generic this group really is, though. I mean, it's Genevieve's voice, of course, is...
Well, she has a very generic voice for a certain kind of music. It's not this kind of music. And that gives them some point of interest. It's mixing rock with this kind of folky, poppy voice. But that really gets tiring after a while.
I think this one is at least... It's a lyrically, it's a lot better than Pressure.
Okay.
It's vocally, you know, it's more thought out. Like, Pressure is very on the nose, and it's very similar to Pressure, this song.
On to track 10, The Fire Song. Nice, throaty guitar tone. But that groove is straight up stolen, and it took me a while. Sounds like Weezer.
I'm trying to think Weezer. Well,
it's
would it be
just this groove that they've used a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just... Weezer's as close as I could come. There was a specific song that they took this groove from, and I can't think of it, including like the crashes and everything. But yeah, I just got a lot of Weezer on this one.
It's another weird story song that we're kind of dropped into the middle of it, trying to figure out, like, okay, so somebody's house burnt down in 3 foot. I mean, it's a great lifting vocal too.
On a track 11, The Tornado Song, piano opening is a nice change of pace. Liked the mood before the drums kicked in. It was nice and melancholy, and then it had to go back to their same old groove. Some nice timing changes in the pre-chorus. Like the high note she hits at the end of the second chorus.
That's a really weird, eerie note.
Like how chaotic the bridge gets.
There's this tension and retreat that they do here that's really neat, where, you know, you think it's built up and then it just kind of goes back down into this lull. But then it comes quickly back into this.
On to track 12, The Closer. This is my pick for weakest. It got better when the drums kicked in, but not much. Interesting kind of sound effects, kind of atonal things during the bridge. Nice build in the second half. That massive sprawling voices at the end was just like insult to injury.
Really?
It's just so cliche.
I mean, I like this one a lot. It's this great build. I mean, the entire song is this build from this super soft, you know, opening to just the... Where they kind of... She gets operatic at the end, you know, with the closing it out. And it serves as this great bookend to the first track, where you're talking about, you know, the first track is very cliche, you know, unrequited love. It's, you know, it's an idea as old as, you know, predates whatever type of music there is even. And it's just about, you know, she can't let it go. And, you know, but it's dead, you know, it's just, she's not getting past it. And then they bookend it with the end where she's found somebody new. But of course you have to wonder, you know, is the process just going to repeat? Or is this, you know, or is this something else?
Again, I only listened to it the one time, so I really couldn't pay attention to the lyrics, but interesting. So you brought this one in, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say you probably recommend it.
Definitely. Genevieve is one of those people that you could listen to sing the phone book. And I mean, I paid her, like, there was something on, like, where she just did Christmas carols her last holiday. And it was just, I think the last show I saw her do was just her and someone on an ukulele. And it was just, it was great. A great time.
I, not surprisingly, don't recommend it. They're interesting for a few songs. You know, go to Spotify or YouTube, check out a few songs. But if those don't hook you, nothing else will, because after that, it's just more of the same. All right, so that's it for Ordinary Riches. Until next time, we'll be reviewing The Light by Spock's Beard. That'll be a fun one.
Yeah. I haven't listened to that one in a long time.
I haven't listened to it in years, but I still have the title track pretty much memorized. And it's like a nine-minute song.
Is that on Spotify even? The Spock's Beard is very weird with where they can be found.
Very good point. I figured we both owned the album, so it wouldn't matter. Do you own it?
I have not owned an album in many, many years.
Okay. Well, we'll check after we finish recording.
I'll find where I can get it from.
If we have to change plans, we'll announce that.
Yeah.
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.